Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. If you are using one of the chair Bibles, it's on page 745. I'm going to have to get new glasses. 745. Between 1875, Matthew 14, by the way. Once again, Matthew 14, page 745. Between 1875 and 1883, there was a professional thief whose very name struck fear in the hearts of people as he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. From San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with danger, especially on the frontier. He robbed 29 different stagecoaches. Amazingly, he did it all without firing a single shot. Instead, here's the name, Black Bart used fear to paralyze his victims. He used fear to paralyze his victims. And Satan does the same thing. He uses fear to paralyze us. And it doesn't matter if we are a Christian or not a Christian, Satan will do whatever he can to attack us. And as you learned last week, he really has no authority over us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can have authority over Satan as we put God first in our lives. But he likes to attack us. He likes to paralyze us. It's like the little cartoon on TV that has the little devil or demon on one shoulder and the little angel on the other shoulder, and they're whispering in the ears. But we choose not to listen to the little angel. We just keep listening to the little devil that's sitting on the shoulder telling us all the negative things that are going to happen. If you step foot out of bed, you're going to break your ankle, you're going to slip on that rug, you're going to have bad things happen today, you should just stay in bed. Oh wait, if you stay in bed, you're going to have bed sores, you're going to have all sorts of other things that take place. Oh my goodness, life is just horrible, and we get paralyzed with fear. We don't know what we're going to do. Should we stay in bed? Should we get out of bed? If we start to get out of bed, we get back into bed. And we just get paralyzed with fear, not knowing what's going to happen. And that is exactly what Black Bart did. He used fear to paralyze his victims. And it turns out that there wasn't anything for the people to be afraid of either. When the hood came off of Black Bart, they didn't find a bloodthirsty bandit of Death Valley, some fierce, ferocious, horrible, mean man. They found a very mild-mannered druggist from Decatur, Illinois, by the name of Charles E. Bowles. He never fired a shot. And you want to know why he never fired a shot? Because he was afraid to carry a loaded gun. He was afraid to carry a loaded gun. Fear paralyzed him as well. He used the fear that paralyzed him to paralyze others as well. Black Bart. So, how do we overcome the fear that paralyzes us? Well, this morning we're going to share 3 points that can help us overcome fear. And the first one, before we get to Matthew chapter 14, is we've got to recognize it. We've got to recognize the fear. Some signs that we have fear hanging around us are that we are irritable and we don't know why. We get irritable and we don't know why. It's because of different things that we may fear sometimes. You resent others. I know pastors that get very critical of other pastors of churches, even within the same denomination, that are bigger than them because they're fearful of being a failure. And so they criticize others to try to make themselves feel a little bit better because they're actually fearful of being a failure themselves. Do you know what I mean? You snap at people for no apparent reason. You procrastinate because of fear of what may take place. Your energy feels zapped. You're critical and judgmental of others. That goes back to the resent others. You're not looking at what you're really upset about, and you are in resistance. You resist certain things because of fear. Becoming aware of some of these signs and beginning to recognize fear and what it is in your life and why it's taking place is one of the first steps to overcoming fear. The second one is to confront it. And in order to get to this part, we're going to get into the Bible and looking at Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, so Jesus had been teaching, and he sends the disciples on ahead. He sends the crowds home, says, go home, eat, rest. You know, okay, I've been teaching all day. It's time for a break. And he sends the disciples out on the boat, and he tells them he's going to catch up with them a little bit later. It doesn't say how long they're in the boat, but it does say, after sending them home, he went up to the hill by himself to pray. So they must have been out on the boat for quite a while if he went up to the hill to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. So maybe it was the morning, he was teaching, into the early afternoon, sends away, goes up and starts praying, because that's where he derives his sense of strength and power. He plugs into the power source. And night fell, and he was there alone. Verse 24, meanwhile, the disciples there were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, so Jesus has been gone quite a while. If nightfall has taken place, and now here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning. If night falls, you know, by 9 o'clock, and at 3, that's 6 hours at least, and it was probably longer that he was gone praying. 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Fear paralyzed them. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Wow. Amazing what happens with fear, how they do such crazy things. Yeah, the in the news the week before last with the shooting in Orlando, I've seen reports of, you know, 50 people died. Couldn't there have been one person that tried to get to the man? You know, just tackle him, take a chair or a table to block the shots and go tackle him. Well, when there's bullets flying all around you, if you haven't been trained, like in the Army, and even in the Army or the military, fear can paralyze you. But if you've not been trained, fear can really paralyze you. And you don't know what to do. Your first reaction is to duck, hide, get away. You know, not thinking of, I'm going to be a hero and save people's lives. So we get really judgmental. I would have just taken a chair and thrown it at him and, you know, put a table in front of me and rammed up there and tackled the man. We don't know what we would do when fear takes place. Why do we have fire drills when we are at school? To prepare us for when a crisis like that might take place. To get us so we're trained to know if there's a fire, the alarm goes off, we don't just start running around crazy. We leave in an orderly fashion. Right, friend? Training. And I'm sure in the nightclub, people partying, doing whatever, they're not thinking of somebody coming in. They haven't had training. Oh, there might be a shooter come here and shoot up. If that happens, we need Joe and Bob to take and grab a table and just go chasing after him. And you, Vicky and Sue, you grab and take the baseball bats. And once we got him, you just start banging him. They don't go through any of that kind of stuff. And so the disciples, they're not thinking, they're just reacting. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. By the way, the reason I shared all that is because I thought some of the same things. Why didn't somebody go up and get him before he shot 50-some people? And then I had to think through, well, fear paralyzes us. Perfect illustration. By the way, we should just continue to be praying for everybody that was there, that God will transform hearts and use what Satan has meant for evil for God's glory and his good to bring people to him in a life-changing way. Amen? Amen. All right. But Jesus spoke to them at once, verse 27. Don't be afraid. You wonder, it says he spoke to them. If there's a storm and there's waves crashing, it's probably kind of loud. Do you think he yelled, "Don't be afraid!" Or did he just speak in a normal tone, and because he was God, it just could make a beeline right to their ears and they could hear it above all the storms and all the waves that are splashing around? Pondering minds wonder. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your paralyzing fear. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Verse 29, "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat. He jumps out, walked on the water towards Jesus. That's impressive. The storm's raging. It doesn't say it stopped yet. Storm's raging. Jesus says, "Yep, it's me." Peter heard him. Whether Jesus was yelling or whether it was just because he was God and the voice could make a beeline right to his ears, Peter jumps out and he's walking on the water. He's doing the impossible. But, verse 30, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God." In order to overcome our fears, not only do we need to recognize them, but we also need to confront them. We need to confront them. And in verse 28, here's Peter saying, "Lord, if it's really you," he and all the disciples were a little bit paralyzed by fear, not only of the storm, but they see what they think is a ghost walking on the water, and Jesus speaks to them, and they realize, but still there's fear, and Peter confronts this fear. He says, "If it's you, tell me to come out to you." And Jesus said, "Do it." He confronted it. We need to learn to confront and control our fears rather than allowing them to control us. We need to learn to confront and control our fears rather than allowing them to control us. We need to learn to confront and control our fears rather than allowing them to control us. I'm preaching to myself because I face fears just like everybody else, if we're honest. We've got to learn to confront and control our fears rather than allowing them to control us. Confronting it is basically facing it. When you don't confront your fears, your self-esteem is lowered, you feel powerless and frustrated, and you sabotage what God wants to do in your lives. And point number three, and this is where it ties it all in, we've got to fix it. We've got to recognize it, we've got to confront it, and we've got to fix it. So how do we fix it? Number one, you focus your eyes on Jesus. Verse 30 said, "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink." Here, Peter had his eyes on Jesus, saying, "Hey, if it's really you and you're not a ghost, tell me to come out there to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." And he gets out of the boat. He's focusing it on Jesus. "Yeah, I'm coming to you, Jesus." And all of a sudden, out of the peripheral vision, he sees the waves and feels the wind. And he turns and he looks, and there's waves are bigger than him, and they're splashing all around him. And all of a sudden, he's like freaking out and starts sinking. And he's like, "Jesus, save me." He got his eyes off of Jesus and on to the circumstances around him. He stopped trusting in Jesus Christ and started trusting in the circumstances. Our God is bigger than our circumstances, church. Amen?
Amen.
Our God is bigger. So we've got to focus our eyes on Jesus Christ. Fear is eradicated by the consciousness of God's presence. Fear is eradicated by the consciousness of God's presence. When we're focused on Him, fear is eradicated. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." You know, I have a pin here. It's not very big. But you know what? This represents some of the problems that we face in life. They're not necessarily huge, especially compared to God. God is beyond. We can't contain Him. The universe can't contain Him. Yet this little pin, I can hold it in my hand. But what so frequently happens is I begin to fixate and focus on this little problem in my life. And when I fixate on it, it's hard for me to see God, who can't be contained by the universe, because I'm fixated on this problem. And I get so consumed with this problem that it paralyzes me. And I can't see how incredibly huge God is. Is that true? I'm guilty. Many of you are guilty. It happens. Because we fixate on that little problem. And God can't be contained by the universe. He's bigger. If God can't be contained by the universe, do you think He can take care of that problem? I had to ponder it for a moment, didn't you? Absolutely, He can. Number two, fix your faith, focus your eyes on Jesus, and then build your faith. Verse 31, it says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and said, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me?" Fear is a matter of misplaced faith. That's huge. Fear is a matter of misplaced faith. We have put our faith in all the wrong things. We've put our faith in people. We put our faith in possessions. We put our faith in power. We put our faith in money, in the stock market. The list goes on and on. And fear is a matter of misplaced faith. Do you know, the stock market can crash. We can go into a depression. We can go into a famine. I'm going to live longer than all the people that are all into health and fitness because I have a little extra meat on me. Just kidding. It's not in the notes. But if the stock market crashes, if there's a depression and a famine, my hope is not in those things. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in God the Father Almighty and in His Holy Spirit. And I know that I'll be okay. I know that this stuff, all these problems in life, aren't going to last forever, because we don't last forever. Life is short. Life is short. My brother Mike passed away and this last August. And now another relative passed away this week that my brother sent a text about, and I responded back, "Wow, life is so short and change happens so quickly." And my brother Maurice down in Georgia, struggling with muscular dystrophy, said, "That's true. Where does the time go?" Because it does go quickly. Jonah's graduating. He's not thinking so much about eternity. I'm thankful he has a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I can tell you, these students that we have that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they're still thinking that they're going to live a long time here and that 70 years old is ancient. 70 years old is not ancient. 51 years old is not ancient. I used to think, you know, boy, somebody 51 years old, they're ready. They're going to be hitting the casket soon. They're old. And now here I am, 51 years old. Of course, back in December, I was a little worried about all that when I was, you know, sitting preaching from a rocking chair, and it was probably incoherent. It was a scary time. But God's bigger. God's bigger. Fear is a matter of misplaced faith. We can't even put our faith in our own health. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Our fear is God's opportunity to strengthen our faith. Our fear is God's opportunity to strengthen our faith. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the words of Christ. How do we build our faith? We've got to spend time in the Word of God. It will build our faith. The more we know about God, the more we know about Jesus Christ, the more we know about the Holy Spirit, it will change our lives. It will transform us. It will eradicate fear. Faith eradicates fear. Fear brings bondage, but faith brings liberty. Faith brings liberty. We don't have to worry about everything else. Next one, realize that God is in control. Verse 32, it says, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they explained. And then verse 27, don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Realize that God is in control. God can bring good out of bad. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we gave this verse week before last. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Why? Because he is in control. Jesus said to the wind, you know, be still. And it stopped. Actually, he didn't even stay. He just climbed in the boat and the wind stopped. That was another time he said, be still. The wind stopped. God is in control of our situations, no matter what's going on. And then finally, realize that God has promised never to leave you. I gave those verses a little bit early on that. When he says in verse 27, take courage, I am here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says, I am with you always, always, to the very end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Take courage. He is with you. Because of what Jesus has done, we can stand with courage and advance with confidence and face the fear, because courage is the opposite of fear. And courage is what we can have when we put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ and not in ourselves. So how do we overcome fear? Turn to God. Focus your attention on him and let him be bigger than your fears. Let him be bigger than your fears. We need to be saying to ourselves, God, I want you bigger than my fears. I need to say that. You need to say that. We need to say it. God, be bigger than my fears. Can you say it with me? God, be bigger than my fears. Now then, that's great to say, God, be bigger than my fears. That doesn't give us a license to go out and be stupid and do stupid things. I'm going to go out and rob a bank. God, be bigger than my fears. Here we go. Trust in him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you so much for being here this morning. Thank you for this incredible congregation that makes up Penn Forest Worship Center. I ask that you would be speaking to each one of our hearts this morning. Maybe this morning there are those here who have allowed their fears to be bigger than their God. And today they need to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for allowing my fears to be bigger than my faith, for allowing my fears to be bigger than you. for fixating, being paralyzed by the things that I fear. Help me to put my faith in you so I can be able to control my fears, confront them, and advance forward for your glory so that others will see you living in me. May there be a peace that fills me because of your Holy Spirit living in my life. The storm can be raging, and because we have our eyes focused on you, we can walk on water without fear because of you in our lives, and our faith is focused on you and not the storm. Be with us this day. Thank you for this group of people, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.